Well, hello, church family. It is a privilege that I will be honest, I never thought I'd get to do this. I love it when Pastor gives me the opportunity to preach to the church. It's just something that I never pictured I'd be able to do, is come to my home church, look the people who either helped raise me or they've given me encouragement in some way, or they've helped me in one way or another, to actually come to them and be able to do something like that. Just come and bring them a truth from the Bible. It's so encouraging. And I thank you, Pastor, specifically for giving me this opportunity and the opportunity to work at the church. All right, so I'm going to start off. I'm not going to start off because I really don't have a text verse. I will admit that, because we're going to be looking throughout the Bible in a lot of different places. So get it ready. We're going to hear some turning of pages. All right. So throughout the Bible, Jesus did healings for people who were lame to walk, blind to see, dumb to speak. He cleansed lepers. There are many different miracles involving healing that Jesus did. But no matter what infirmity that Jesus came across, there was always one thing in common with how he healed all of them. No, it might not be the same way of healing, but he always only could heal those. He only could heal those that would allow them to heal them with faith. They all needed faith to be healed. So my question for all of you tonight is your faith, would your faith allow you to be healed? Would your faith allow you to be healed? Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Just thank you for this gift you've given to us, Lord, where we can just have a piece of you with us, Lord. Lord, just please use me as an empty vessel, Lord, and just fill me, Lord, and just let my words be your words, Lord, and just help this message, Lord, just to speak to someone, Lord, and Heavenly Father, amen. All right, so first off, I would like you all to turn to Matthew 9, verse 27. Matthew 9, 27. Ooh, man, when you hear all the pages turn, it gets you pumped, right? It just makes you like, ooh, it's going on tonight. Let's go. All right. So once we hear it, I want to hear a good old amen when you're there. Amen. Oh, that's, man, you guys are getting this. Man, I see why Pastor enjoys this so much. All right. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Let me say this first, that God can heal in any way. It doesn't matter what you have, God can heal. The Lord healed these men because of their faith and their persistence. I always wonder this. When we pray, is it a one-time prayer? We always see these requests on the prayer bulletin. We see people who are sick. We see Miss Chapel, who's still recovering in rehab after her surgery. We see Brother Steve asking for wisdom with his bus. And I ask you, do we only pray on Wednesday? Do we only look at those requests and we say, it's only, you know, I'm only praying on Wednesday? Or are we persistent with our prayers? Do you believe God would answer that prayer? Or is it something where you're like, it's not important to me? Do we believe Jesus has the power to cleanse? You know, these blind men, they saw the Christ. Now, we can't physically see the Christ anymore because he's up in heaven. And praise the Lord that we serve a living God. Amen to that. These men, they didn't leave Jesus alone. Now, that kind of seems weird to us to imagine to pester the Lord in a sense. But these men, they were following God and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And I'm imagining as Jesus is walking, these two blind men are right behind him, screaming and shouting to God, trying to get his attention. "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And I'm imagining as Jesus is knocking on the door, before they even heard the knock, I'm imagining behind that door they hear, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." I wonder who behind that door was kind of a little confused, like, I'm not the son of David or whoever, but God, they pestered the Lord the right way. They wanted something they knew. They knew God could give them. God, I don't know if it's just me. I'll be honest. I don't know if it's just me, but I want, and maybe this is just pride, and I'll admit that. Maybe it's just pride, but I almost want like a story from God of faith. Like you almost want something that's like, you know, God did this for me in some way. I want something that I can look to and say, you know what? Lord, only you can do this. But how far are we willing to go? You know, these blind men, all God did was put his hands on their eyes and say, let your faith be it unto you. And they were healed. So I want to ask you, how hard is it when the pantries are empty to ask that? How hard is it to ask that when maybe the gas tank is empty? I ask you, when maybe your bank account's lower than you expect, are you shouting unto the Son of David? Are you crying out to God being like, Lord, only you can do this. Only you can help me through this. Or are you, in our fleshly minds, thinking, I'll just work on Sundays. Or maybe, you know what, maybe I won't tithe this week so I can go buy food. Or are you screaming and shouting to God saying, God, I know I'm doing what you told me to do, and it's your turn to hold up what you said that you'll take care of me. You know, at least this is for me. When everything is going good, it's easy to have faith. It's not that hard when everything's going right. Maybe even you're getting blessings and you're like, oh, man, it's so good to have faith in God. But what about when life isn't so easy? I want us now, if you wouldn't mind, turning to Mark 8:22. Mark 8:22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. Now, I'm not really a germaphobe, but if I was having like pink eye or something, and a guy came up to me and said, I can fix your pink eye, okay? And I started hearing this weird back throaty sound, and then this glob of whatever comes hurling at my eye. I don't know if I would believe him if that was going to fix my pink eye. Just a little bit. I don't know. But you know what? If God can do it, happened with this man. God could have healed this man just as the last one. They all were blind, right? He could have just put his hands on him and been like, you're healed. But you know what? God wanted to show himself. God wanted to be like, I can do many things. It doesn't matter. I don't have to do it the same way. God is a God who can do so many different ways, but all for the same solution. It amazes me that God maybe has a certain thing that we all go through, maybe a certain trial, or maybe we all have the same type of trial. Maybe we all have like a certain financial burden. But you know, it's amazing how God will answer each of those burdens differently. Some of us, he might have somebody drop off a check. Maybe you'll get a better tax refund than you expect. It's amazing to me how the God of heaven who made everything around us, it doesn't matter what we see outside, no matter what it is, God designed that first. He all had that in his head. It amazes me to think that he designed a plan for me, that maybe one day I'm going to go through a certain trial. Maybe there's something that he designed that said, Hunter Schultz is going to go through this. And you know what? I'm going to solve it in a way that he would never expect it. And you know what? That cannot just be said about me. That can be said about all of us. He has something designed for all of us. He has a certain solution that for all of us. And it just, It's amazing. It's amazing for that. You know, it's amazing to me how God designed those trials, but not only that. He didn't just design those trials and say, all right, I'm going to let you go. You're going to go through them by yourself. I'm going to quickly turn to Psalms 139. I'm going to quickly turn to that. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. It's amazing to me how the God of creation looks at me. And I heard one preacher say this, and I forget who it was, but it is probably the best explanation of us. We are a glorified spitball at times. God picked us up from the dust, designed us, and then he just breathed. So we're pretty much just a spitball, a glorified spitball. But he loves me, this glorified spitball, so much that not only is he with me, he's holding my hand. And he's walking side by side with me through those trials. But you know, sadly, we look at those trials that we can say, you know what, God designed that trial for me, and it's a test of my faith. Maybe we look at the way that God's going to answer and say, I don't trust that he can. Maybe I don't trust that if he spits in my eyes, he can save me. Maybe I don't trust, I only want, oh, here's my hands on your eyes, that's it. Maybe that's some of us. Maybe some of us, we don't fully put our faith in him with that. And at this point, at least for me, and I'm realizing this and it hurts me with this, that this is the point where some people quit. Some of us, when life gets rough, we quit. Some of us, when we see a trial coming up, maybe you see a bill coming up. Instead of trusting God with it, we look at it and say, I'll just have to work more hours. I'll just have to go, you know, give up a church service. Pastor will understand. God will understand. Everybody will understand because it's the only way that can happen. And at this point, when the trials come is when you see people quit. You see people try to make fleshly answers for spiritual problems. You see people who maybe it's something really difficult coming up. And don't get me wrong, there are problems that come up that we look at it and it doesn't make sense how it can be fixed. Some of us, we know people who have heard the terrible news. We heard with pastor's mom that she might have cancer. We never want to hear those words, don't get me wrong. But you know what I love? It's the God of healing is the God holding all of our right hands right now. The God of healing is helping us and saying, trust me, I got this. Trust me, I can just put my hands on and heal you. Trust me, this is going to be used for my glory. It's amazing. Church family, let's not use those trials and douse our flames. The flames of faith that God has given us that we can grow, don't let the trials be something that douses them. Don't look at the trials and say, another hard day coming up. Look at it and be like, oh, that's another day I can trust God. Let it be another day, oh, my faith gets to grow. And let it be something that maybe it's something really hard, because when the moments are hard in our life, that is when people look at you. That's when people look at you. When you have a loved one in the hospital, that's when people will look and see how you react. Is that the moment that you give up? Or is that the moment that you stand up and say, oh, glory to God that he can heal? Because at those moments, I've realized, and again, I've seen it. I've heard it from other preachers. It's crazy to think that when you're at your worst, that's when people see you. Keep in mind that if you give up at that point, maybe a coworker is watching you. And they say, huh, so you gave up church for your job. Shows you how much you enjoy it. Shows how much it means to you. Oh, your family's in the hospital? Oh, So what'd you do about it? Oh, you're just going to work more hours to pay for the doctor's bills. Okay. When, if they see you praying on your lunch break saying, Lord, please, please help them. Lord, please, I know you can do this, please. And they look over and they're like, you really believe God can do this? Huh. You're real. And those are the moments that we pass away. Those are the moments that someone might get saved out of it. And finally, I would like you guys to turn to Mark 7, 32, 33. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impotent in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hands upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Epha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now, I'm no doctor. But I don't think if I went up to a deaf person and I gave them a wet willy, I don't think I would fix their hearing. Just a little bit. I don't think I would. But again, it amazes me that God can go up to someone and go, be opened. He can hear. Be open. I can speak. It's crazy. It's unfathomable to my mind how God can heal people and in whatever way he wants. To me, that, I'll be honest, that seems crazy. To put your fingers in somebody's ear and then touch his tongue, that makes no sense humanly, right? I'm not the only one that's going crazy with this, right? That's looking at this being like, oh, this is normal. That's how my doctor fixed my hearing last week. Yeah. No, it's amazing to me. Because God sometimes, I look at this and say, God sometimes throws us a curveball in our lives. Maybe it's a trial, but maybe it's a really, really difficult trial. Maybe it's a death of a loved one. Maybe it's a bill that you paid and then you found out your bill just got raised so much more. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe a new sickness arises. I remember, and this was a while ago. I believe I was 10 or 12. And I remember my dad coming home from work, and I remember he was talking with us and saying he wasn't going to get paid for a while because of how he gets paid. They just didn't sign his contract. So for a month, our family was going pretty much with, I believe it was a month, our family was going without any pay at all. So we had no income coming in. And because of what he does, he's still required to go to work. So he couldn't even get a second job. He couldn't work more hours to get paid. It just didn't work. But you know what? I love my dad, because he came up to us, and he didn't come up to us and be like, I can't believe God's coming up. That's not how my dad approached us. He came up, sat us, his serious face. He looked at us. But he said in a loving tone and said, you know what? God will take care of us. God will provide. I might not be getting paid at this time, but you know what? We're still going to make it. We are still going to rely on God. We're still going to tithe. We're going to do everything. We're going to attend church. We're going to do whatever we need to do still that we were doing before, even through this rough time. And I don't remember a single day coming home being like, I wonder if I'm going to eat. You know why? Because my dad was right. Every day we were fed. I never went thirsty. I never went without clothes. I never went without shelter. God would take care of us. And you know what? He'll take care of you as well. It's amazing how God loves us. He can take care of us that much. Again, earlier I said he can hold our hand. But it's more unfathomable to believe that God loves us, though. You know, sometimes we look at love and we say, we make it a little word when it's a huge word. I love to hear And I know this is like the classic memory verse, and I don't care because the classic memory verse is one of the best ones that we could remember. I love hearing John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And what I love is when I hear a preacher get up and say, and you know what that world means? It means you. Replace the world with you. God loves you. Boy, howdy, if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what will. And by the way, I'm not Southern. I don't know why I just said boy, howdy. College changes you. Even in Psalms 37:25, we see, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God can and will. You hear me? God can and he will take care of you. But here's the question. Do we have the faith that he will? Do we have enough faith to be like, God, you'll take care of us in this time, maybe during a layoff. Maybe something's happening in your life that you don't know why it's happening. Maybe you're looking at it like, God, I'm doing everything right. I'm trusting you. What's going on? And we got to keep going. You got to keep trusting him, because that's, again, when God can use you the most. And I'm not going to have you guys turn there, and I'm going to read this real quick in Matthew 8:5-13. And Jesus, when he entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth home at sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worried that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And I'm going to skip down a few verses. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour, selfsame hour. A centurion, a high-ranking Roman officer in the Roman army, who even though was not a Jew, heard of Jesus and his healing ability. Because everybody heard of Jesus. Some people believed what he did, others didn't. His own people didn't even believe he was the king and the son of God. But a Roman centurion comes to Jesus, not on his own behalf. This centurion didn't come to Jesus to say, Jesus, I have leprosy in my hand, heal my leprosy. He didn't come for himself. He came for his servant. He came for someone below him. And he came humbly. The centurion could have went up to a Jew and pretty much told him, carry my bag a mile. And a Jew would have to carry his bag for a mile. That's just how the Roman Empire could have gone. That's just how they were at times. But what amazes me is this centurion didn't come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I heard of your healing, and because of my position, I demand that you heal my servant. That's not how it says in the Bible. It says he came and said, Lord, my servant is sick. He's tormented. He came with a humble spirit to Christ. He even told Jesus, my position, it's not even close to yours. You can't even come under my roof. That's not even a question. You're so powerful, I can't have you under my roof because I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. And even for him, he looked at him and said, Jesus, I know how powerful you are. Just say the word and my servant's healed. And later, and even in the same passage, a little bit I went over, Jesus is amazed. He kind of looks at this guy like, this guy gets it. This centurion, a non-Jewish man, a Roman high officer, gets it. He knows my power. He knows because of his faith. You know, I look at this and I say, that's an amazing thing the centurion did. He went and found Jesus and had his servant get healed. But it makes me struggle a little bit when I hear that. Because sometimes we look at Jesus and we hear of his healing power. We read it in his word. We see that he can save souls. But we don't believe he can heal someone for real, right? That's how sometimes us saved people are. Sometimes we trust Jesus with our souls, but that's about it. This centurion had so much faith that he would come for another person. He wouldn't come for himself. He didn't come for himself. He came for somebody else to ask for their healing. And sometimes as Christians, we're so selfish that we don't even come and ask for somebody else to be healed. Sometimes we look and say, God, you may have saved my soul, but I don't believe you can soften the heart of my coworker. Lord, I know I've heard of your healings in the past, and you're looking maybe at your mom who's sick on the bed in the hospital room, or your grandma, and you're like, but Lord, I know you can't heal her. We need to be careful that we don't say to God, Lord, I want to see this person healed, but don't believe it. We need to be careful that we don't ask in vain. The Lord will answer our prayers. We have to remember that. But we must have faith. Faith, it's what our religion is built on. It's what Christianity is built on. Without faith, there's nothing. Without trust, there's nothing in a relationship. Without trust, there's nothing in a relationship. And we got to make sure, look, we have to remember God can take care of us. He will take care of us. He wants to take care of us. He loves us. Or why else would he not? Why would he send his son? If he wasn't willing to take care of us and love us, I don't see why God would send his son to die on the cross. I might not be a dad, but I've seen the love my dad has for me, and I couldn't imagine him looking at me being like, son, I'm going to have to sacrifice you today for somebody else. My dad loves me. I don't think any of you who are parents could look at your kids and just say, I'm going to give them up for somebody else. Without real love. We need to make sure that we remember God has real love for us. That we accept his real love. God will always bless those who stick with him through whatever happens. God will take care of us, but we must have faith that he will take care of us. You know, we see all these stories in the Bible. We hear of Jesus' healings, but all of them only got healed by faith. I'm asking you that we look when maybe through the good times and the bad times, the mountaintops and the valleys, that we look at any time in our life and we say, this is a moment to grow my faith. This is a moment that my faith might get tested. And we're going to take it and we're going to look at it and we're going to look at God and be like, God, you know what? Give me your right hand. And he's going to hold it with us and walk us through it. We need to remember this. So remember, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you will go through, God is with all of us. All we have to do is have faith that he will carry us through it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Lord, I thank you for holding our hands when we have struggles. Lord, please help us to have faith as these men with infirmities had. Lord, help us to be like the centurion asking, who had that much faith that somebody else could be healed. Lord, just please, I ask that when trials come, that you grow our faith. As the piano begins to play, if God has spoken with you, you make your way down to the altar.